Welcome back to Path to Glory, the Warhammer Underworlds podcast that focuses on competitive gaming, player development, and community growth. In today's episode, we will be covering Illusory Might, the standalone Rivals deck that has been dropped by Games Workshop this upcoming weekend. As always, I'm Aman Khusro, and I'm joined by my new co-host, Jason Murray.
Welcome to myself. Thank you. That was terrible.
It's okay. Happy for you to be
here. Oh, man. I'm happy to be here. It was like it was an illusion. The intro was an illusion.
There you go. Didn't even see it. Didn't even register it. And then by the time you did, it was discarded because the action phase was over.
Yeah. It was break that card.
Yeah. Before we get into Illusory Might, though, we're going to go ahead and give a shout out to our patrons. This episode was made possible by you, so thank you to everyone who supports us. If you are interested in supporting the podcast monetarily, please check us out at patreon.com/pathglory. We have a cool community on the Discord. Most of the Discord is hidden unless you are a patron, and you get access to special content, including battle reps and end phase content. End phases are like episodes only for patrons. But if that's not possible, that's okay. We still appreciate the listens and the ratings. So I think this is our second podcast recording of the night.
Maybe. I don't know. It feels like it, but yeah. I'm ready to go. I'm excited to talk about
third and fourth in 2 days.
Yeah. Fourth in 2 days.
Yeah. We're kind of going hard here, but okay, let's jump into Illusory Might. So just like the Gorlok's Buccaneers deck, when you open up the Illusory Might packaging, there's a little description on the lore behind the deck, and on the back side of the deck it has every single card in the deck so that you can always know what cards go in it, so this prevents cheating, as well as it's a good guide when you're playing Rivals events. Keep in mind that Rivals decks that are universal can work with any warband, but they especially work with the warbands from the first two seasons because they don't have a full Rivals deck that's faction specific. But before we get into the cards, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Illusory Might. The spiraling passages of Harrowdeep hide many secrets. Amidst the dripping halls, relics from bygone ages await those with the wit to find them, as do treasures abandoned in haste by more recent visitors. All is deceit in Ulgu, however, and a traveler in the labyrinth must beware of the prize easily claimed. Shadow magic clings to every surface like ink, confounding the senses and obscuring the truth. What appears as a simple pebble may in fact be a potent magical curio, and what seems a masterwork artifact is not but a trap for those who covet it. Illusions are made real, for a time, at least, and trusting in your senses can prove just as deadly as the attentions of Harrowdeep's other denizens.
Wow, very ominous.
Yeah. Very ominous for a rival stack. Yeah, it's not even a warband associated with it. But 32 cards. We'll start with the objective cards. We'll run through all the cards, give our thoughts, and then close it out on what we think about this whole Rivals deck, which I think they keep getting better and better. I mean, the only competition really is Silent Menace, and you know, it's not a very high bar to vault past.
It's a very silent deck.
Okay, first card is Descending Tide. We're starting off strong here. At least in terms of glory. 3 glory. It's a duel. Score this in the third end phase if there are 2 or more surviving friendly fighters, and each of those fighters holds an objective in enemy territory.
For 3 glory, third end phase. I mean, I want to be in a lot of the warbands now want to be in enemy territory. And two surviving friendly fighters. Okay, it's the only drawback is it's third end phase, and that's probably where I'm making the cut, is that it is third end phase, but it definitely makes up for it in for 3 glory. So
I, I almost feel like this is impossible to score, though. You have to have two or more surviving friendly fighters. So let's say you have four surviving friendly fighters, and all of them have to hold an objective in enemy territory. What if there's no fourth objective there?
That's right. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I missed that, where if you had four friendly fighters. Okay. Yeah, not so good. Thank you for correcting that.
No, it's okay. It's late. So we've been doing this for a while.
Each of those, yes.
This is not a good card.
We're starting off strong. No, we're not.
I mean, I feel like I am.
You are.
dude, Kragan is getting wrecked in this card. The next one is called False Apotheosis. For two glory, it's a two glory surge. Score this immediately after a friendly fighter's attack action that takes an enemy fighter with three or more upgrades out of action.
Oh, I love it's the effective. Two.
It, I it's love effectively a three glory card.
Yeah,
because you get a glory for the kill.
I love the two glory, making it three glory. It's not going in my championship deck because it's too what if. Like, what if that doesn't happen to even give me the opportunity? But we'll see how it plays out in this deck, because I think if you're playing against this deck, this may happen. So,
yeah, I definitely think that you could maybe get your opponent once with this, but if my opponent scored this ever on me, I would never give any of my fighters more than two upgrades.
Yes.
Just for the rest of the game, because that denies three glory. Or it's actually two, because they might still kill your fighter, but yeah. It's tempting, though. Two glory surges. Love those. Next one is Horrors in the Dark. It's a surge hybrid. Score this immediately after an activation if two or more friendly fighters are in cover hexes that are not in your territory. Or two or more friendly fighters hold objectives that are not in your territory for one glory.
I like this one. Again, I think we touched on it earlier. In an earlier episode, that not in your territory can be just in no man's land. Mm-hmm. I can definitely get a Gloom feature hex with an objective in there, and then I can just get the straight up feature hex that's double Gloom or double cover. So and score immediately means I can just move right on to it. I like this one.
Yeah, I do think it's good for aggressive. I think this slots really well into a Crushes deck, for example. Because they kind of want to do that anyways, like hold feature tokens while running up the board and getting aggressive.
Yeah. I'm thinking of as of a good old, you know, good old Grimwatch style of card where I have a push and I just literally push two people onto the cover hexes in no man's land and then I activate and score.
Yeah, that's fair, because you've got the cool push. So, one cool thing to note about all the Universal Rivals decks is that they do a really good job of incorporating a lot of the fighters from previous seasons. A lot of the Universals in the current season will only show fighters in the current season. But in this situation, in addition to the Grand Alliance cards, it's really cool to see like high quality art of older warbands and fighters.
Yes.
So, like the next one, where it has Targor and Vortimus on it. So, this one is called Illusory Nemesis. It's a Surge hybrid for one glory. Score this immediately after a power step if one or more opponents played one or more illusion upgrades in that power step, or you play your third or subsequent illusion upgrade in the same phase. It's good for this deck.
It is good for it. It's going to really pair well with this deck, with the... The third, he can definitely score that. And then I do think we're going to see where some illusion upgrades are incorporated into normal championship decks. So this is an okay card. And if you're building that style of deck, you know, one glory score immediately, not too bad.
Yeah, and I also feel like some factions that come with strong illusions, like Cunning Crew. Like they might maybe find a card or two that they like in here and they're good to go, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. Next one is Illusory Prominence. It's a one glory duel. score this in an end phase if each surviving friendly fighter has no upgrades and there are one or more illusion upgrades in your power discard pile.
So again, I think this is synergizes well with this standalone deck, which is very refreshing to say that twice in a row, given the high bar that you mentioned of Silent Menace. So that is good. And again, if you're playing this style, this is not a bad end phase card because they're going to break. So hopefully no fighter has upgrades and they're going to be in your discard pile.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this for this deck. Outside of this deck, it could be hard.
Yeah.
Next one is Illusory Titan. It's one glory. Surge, score this immediately after a friendly fighter's attack action that takes the target out of action if that friendly fighter has two or more illusion upgrades.
It's the take out of action. Again, good synergy with what's in here, but this is not as strong because it has the take them out of action. So if you're fighting a two wound fighter warband, I think you'll score this. That may see the play in championship if that's, kind of your meta. But I don't think you include it in a championship deck.
Well, it depends, right? Like if you've got a really leader centric warband, just give them two illusions that are worth it, right? Like if you happen to have illusions in your deck,
mm-hmm.
then I think this is the go-to. But forcing this in a deck and forcing illusions, definitely not, right? But I can see this being good in like a Hrothgorn deck or Cunning Crew or even Buccaneers if you decide to just load up on some illusions.
Yeah. Again, in this deck, it's good. Just this deck alone. So,
yeah, the synergies are strong. Lengthening Shadows is the next one. Two glory. Score this in an end phase if there are more friendly fighters in enemy territory than there are enemy fighters in enemy territory.
For two glory. Ooh. Matchup dependent for championship. Yeah, I don't.
I mean, like, matchup dependent in general.
Yeah, in general. I'm just like making the cut to put it in there. Like, I like the card as far as the way it's written. I just don't think it makes makes the cut because it is so matchup dependent.
Yeah, it's a really hard card to score. The next one is Masters of Illusion. Surge, score this immediately after a power step if each surviving friendly fighter has one or more illusion upgrades for one glory. I think this is a hard surge.
It is, unless it's late game or you're playing an elite warband. So in this deck, I think this will probably be a harder score immediately to score within the deck itself. It is doable, and yeah, I just don't see if it sees anything outside of this deck.
Yeah, it's hard to score within the deck, let alone outside of it, for sure. Unless you're playing like Cursebreakers or something.
Yeah, the only cool wording there is after a power step. So it is like you're playing all these upgrades and you're gaining a glory going into the next activation, which is doesn't happen that way often. So
yeah, but you're gonna have to load up on a lot of illusions. Out of Time is one glory hybrid. Score this in an end phase if your warband holds a number of objectives equal to the round number or the number of friendly fighters and cover hexes equal to the round number.
Holds a number of objectives equal to the, I mean, we've seen like it's an end phase. We've seen this type of card before and the other condition of cover,
I think this is great.
Yeah. Like cover. Yeah. Yeah.
It's great in the first two rounds. Third round is hard.
But even then, there's just so much cover out there with delving and board selection.
Well, I think this card is like diminishing returns, right? The longer the game goes on, the worse it's worth it for you to score it. But like if you draw this early and you try to mulligan for it, for example, like you just have to hold one cover hex or one objective and you get one glory.
Yeah, cool.
Shadow Match is the next card. The art, one of our patrons, this is period on Warhammer Community, this card. One of our patrons pointed out this is like looks like the Spider-Man pointing at each other.
That reference is lost on me because I'm assuming that's from the new movie.
No, it's just like the meme online where it's like the two Spider-Man pointing at each other.
No.
You've never seen it?
No. I'm going to have to Google it now.
That's really upsetting that you're not familiar with that.
You know, it's just I'm a meme. I love some good memes. I'm just, you know, Spider-Man.
It's like a tier one meme. Like it's like, okay, I'm gonna let it go. Shadow Match hybrid. Score this in an end phase if one or more friendly fighters hold an objective that has a number equal to their wounds characteristic. Or one or more friendly fighters each have a number of upgrades equal to their wound characteristic. So essentially, let's say you have a two wound fighter. They're either holding objective number two or they have two upgrades. Get one glory.
So the holding the objective one is difficult, right? If you don't have, you know, you do get to look at the numbers of the objectives before they're placed. But if you don't have one or two or three, like then you're guessing. And if they don't get flipped, so that's a little more difficult. But the wound characteristic upgrades, I mean, yeah, I like that part of it where you can upgrade a two wound fighter and score it.
I'm not really sold on this card. No. I don't think I like it.
No, I immediately go to the fish though. If I had objective one and I put it on there. Oh, he has to hold it. Never mind.
Hold an objective. Oh,
all my stuffs are just ruined. Never mind.
Yeah.
Get out of here with this trash card.
Well, it's because the wording is so different nowadays, right? Because some cards will say in a hex that contains a feature token, and then some will say holding a feature token or, you know, whatever. And it's just like, with the, you know, they can trip you up. But I think not only is this a card that I think is tough to score with this deck itself, I feel like it's harder to score outside the deck.
Yes.
But then we go to the next card. Trace the Ley Lines for one glory. Score this in the end phase if there are X or more friendly fighters with an X hexes of an objective that is not held by an enemy fighter, where X is that objective's number. Example, if there are two or more friendly fighters within two hexes of objective two.
You want to talk about memes. This card, with, you know, you just have that meme with all the math equation running across it. Like, what's going on? I don't like this. Given the fact that I don't have the open information of the objective numbers fully at the beginning of the game, you may score it in this deck, but it's not good.
It's a bit of luck of the draw. Like, if you have objective one and you have one fighter, one or more friendly fighters within one hex of objective one, nice. You know, but at a certain point, like if it's round three, you have to have three or more friendly fighters than three hexes of objective three. It's kind of hard, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, especially for one glory, it's not worth.
It's just not worth. Yeah. It's not worth the resources or the brain power to figure it out.
Yeah. The brain power, especially. Okay. Last objective is Shock Troops, Surge Hybrid for one glory. Score this immediately after an activation if one or more friendly fighters holds an objective in enemy territory that has a number equal to the number of that fighter's upgrade, or one or more friendly fighters each have more upgrades than there are surviving enemy fighters. Huh. So if a friendly fighter holds objective four in enemy territory, they have to have four upgrades. Or they have to have more upgrades. One or more friendly fighters each have more upgrades than this. Yeah. Or just the most upgrades on the battlefield.
Yeah. So if you're up against your opponent has three enemy fighters, four upgrades on one fighter scores this for one Glory. I mean, I like that it's a surge, but it's just, yeah, that's not good either.
No, it's not. It's not a good card. It's not good for Ribbons or Hawthorne either, and they're the probably two that take the most upgrades. So, okay, well, that does it for the objectives. Do you have a favorite, Jason? What do you think about the objective deck? Do you think it's cohesive enough, or do you think that they tried and just couldn't get there?
I think it, they tried. I think it's cohesive enough to have fun with it in Rivals. I'm really trying to place what Warband would like to use this, and I think that that's the hardest part with these Rivals standalone decks is just they have the ability to write a Rivals deck that complements the Warband's playstyle within faction. These generic cards, like there are going to be some Warbands like that can really score two of them or three of them, but to get all 12 to go is going to be more difficult. And to pick a favorite, I don't know if I'm cutting any one of them in. Maybe Out of Time, like only because the number of fighters in cover hexes is equal to the round number, and I can have the upgrade that puts them in a cover hex, so that takes away one. And you know, worst case scenario, I'm getting you have to work other two more in the third end phase, but even then, it's a stretch.
Yeah, I think this deck has an identity crisis already in the objectives. Like there's a lot of numbered stuff that you have to do, but then there's also like illusions that you have to kind of focus on. And I can get why they may have like only put a partial emphasis on illusions because they don't want it to be the whole playstyle. But from a like from a faction perspective, like if this is a Rivals deck, like Illusory Nemesis is a great card in a Rivals format. Outside of Rivals format, I really like Horrors in the Dark just because like I think there's a way in which you can score that quite consistently in a lot of advancing, invading enemy territory warbands.
Yeah. I mean, it's a step in the right direction. The objectives are better than the cohesiveness of Silent Menace. So it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. You know, maybe in like a couple years we'll have, you know, A tier level deck, but I'm kind of glad that they aren't that strong. Like the jokes aside, like it's cool that they're putting these decks together and they're making them different and feel unique enough to where like when you're playing Illusory Might, it's really all about the two or three themes within Illusory Might.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do Gambits.
Gambits. So Cover of Darkness, pick one. Gambits cannot deal damage. This effect persists until the end of the next power step, or push one friendly fighter up to two hexes into a cover hex.
It's a good card. It's good enough that like if you're ever in a matchup where like Gambit, like your opponent, like maybe you're playing Wormspat, and like they're trying to get some ping damage out so they can inspire, and you're just like, nah, you're not, which is kind of cool. And even the push is good because the push can help you get into the feature tokens, right? And then hopefully if you picked one that has an objective on the other end, then you can just flip it. So it's a good way to get onto objectives or cover hexes, whatever flanks, like, you know, because you can play Cover of Darkness, then your opponent can play something, then you can flip the cover hex you're on, right? So
Yeah, I really like the push. Especially like Beast Trail. I think we talked about it with Jonathan. Like there was a card where you wanted to get over there on it, but you couldn't. You're on an edge hex, but now this card allows you to kind of push further in to get to some feature tokens. So I like it. The next card is Dark Determination. Surviving friendly fighters other than your leader have the assassin keyword. plus one dice to friendly assassins range one attack actions that target a leader, and this effect persists until the end of the phase.
It's cool. If you're really trying to take down the enemy leader, it's a good card. Because everyone becomes an assassin except your leader, and then because they're an assassin, they get an extra die to hit. That being said, if I think this would be a really good card if it didn't say target a leader, but because it says specifically target a leader, you're probably, unless the enemy leader is like being able to be charged by your whole warband, you're only really going to get one or two fighters to get this benefit. And with that type of limited buff, I would maybe look elsewhere for a card.
Yeah, unless you also really want that assassin keyword for something. But, you know, there are plus one dice gambits that don't have all that restriction, right? So, yeah, I agree. It's really cool in concept. Don't know if it's making the cut. Deafening Clangor is the next card. Play this only if one or more friendly fighters each have three or more upgrades. Scatter three from one of those fighters' hexes. Stagger each enemy fighter in each hex in the chain.
I'm just gonna pass on this one.
Three more upgrades and scatter three. That's, man. Yeah, that one's not. It's not gonna happen all that often. It's a lot of.
No good. No bueno.
Okay, on to the next one. Illusionary Find. Reveal cards from the top of your power deck one by one until you reveal an illusion upgrade. Add that card to your hand, then return the revealed cards to your power deck and shuffle your power deck. If you do not reveal an illusion upgrade, return the revealed cards to your power deck and shuffle your power deck. So it's a pointed recycle card. What are your thoughts?
I don't like it because you're just showing your opponent your deck. In some cases, that might not matter. But so if you're hunting for a specific illusion, great. I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think in this deck, like playing this deck on its own, I think this card is very useful. Given the objectives that are in it, you know, this comes up, it gets you kind of a tool that you may need. But outside of this, I don't see why you would take it.
Agreed.
Next card is Phantom Advance. Push each friendly fighter with one or more illusion upgrades up to one hex towards the nearest enemy fighter. So another push. Thoughts?
I mean, yeah, it's like good in this deck. Outside of this deck, I don't think. First of all, I don't even know if it's good in this deck because like you have to have the illusions up. So like once you eventually run out of your finite illusions, this card may not be useful. So personally, it's okay.
It's okay because it's a push and it can help you maximize activations, but it's not the best push we have out there.
No, it's not.
Phantom Denial Reaction. Play this when an opponent plays a gambit or chooses one or more of your fighters. If one or more of the chosen fighters are friendly fighters with one or more illusion upgrades, discard one power card. When you do, those fighters are not chosen and the gambit is discarded.
So effectively, if your opponent chooses one of your fighters with a choose card, you can burn a card to burn that choose.
Yeah, you basically stop their gambit.
In some situations, that can be really, really powerful.
Yes.
I don't think I'd take it in championship.
No, because you're betting that they're going to play a choose card.
Yeah, well, which they probably are, because you know, Hypnotic Buzz.
Yeah,
or like or Outrun Death. You still have to choose a fighter, right?
Yes. Yeah, there's some play there, but but they have to have an
illusion. Illusion. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and there should be a comma after upgrades, not a period. But
oh yeah.
Well, I guess it works either way. But yeah,
I see what you're saying though. Phantom Retrieval, pick one or more illusion upgrades in your discard pile, then discard two power cards for each illusion upgrade you pick. When you do, return the illusion upgrades you picked to your hand.
Unless your illusion is bonkers or perfect for the scenario, I don't think it's worth two cards. If it was one for one, maybe, but not worth two.
Yeah, I'll agree. It is definitely a steep price to pay. Discarding two, which is actually three because you're playing this card and discarding two additional.
So. Yeah. It's more than half your, in theory, power card hand gone.
Yeah. And then the next one would be Shady Bargain. Give one upgrade to one friendly fighter without spending any glory points. Then pick one opponent. That opponent may give one upgrade to one of their fighters without spending any glory points.
Not worth it.
I mean, I knew that was coming out of you, like, because you're helping your opponent along.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what upgrades they have. Like, the only time this card would be good is if you know what they have in their hand, or they have no power cards in their hand.
No power cards, yeah.
Otherwise, it's foolish, in my opinion.
Season, what was it? Spoils, Picture of the Rat, where you could play an upgrade for free.
Spoils of Battle?
Yeah, Spoils of Battle or Spoils of War, something like that. The only reason I like this, the only warband that I could think of playing it, is Godsworn Hunt.
No, because then they'll just put a defensive upgrade and ruin all your charges.
They could, yes. That is definitely the risk and gamble. But if I'm playing Godsworn Hunt, I am gambling anyway. So, all right, on to the next. Siphoned Vigor. Choose one friendly fighter. Heal the chosen fighter according to the number of upgrades that fighter had when you played this card, as shown below. Then break each of the chosen fighter's upgrades. So if they have 0 or 1, you can heal that fighter 1. 2 to 4 upgrades, you can heal them 2. If they have 5 plus upgrades, heal them 3.
It's interesting until you have to realize that if you do end up healing 3, you break all 5 of your upgrades. There's no way in hell I'm ever doing that.
Even if it's like Rothgorn and he's finally down to one wound.
Like, I mean, sure, there are some cases in which, like, there's edge cases, but I'd rather still take a healing potion or honeycomb, you know?
Yes.
What flask or whatever.
I agree with you. I just really want to emphasize that for the listeners is like, because when I first read this card, I was like, oh no, here we go again with the high wound fighters. I finally get them down to a manageable wound count where I can take them out. And then they go all the way back up. Cause we had that meta at one time and
we did.
The nice way that this card is written, right, is that if they sacrifice that and do that, that fighter becomes a lot less effective, right? So
true.
I think someone will try to make it work though. I do. So I wouldn't. I think I'm with you. I don't think this card makes any cut other than this deck, but I'm sure someone out there will at least try it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Next one is Transfer of Power. Choose two friendly fighters who each have one or more illusion upgrades and no charge tokens. Place each chosen fighter in the hex that was occupied by the other fighter when you chose them.
So this has the potential to be really strong because there's no range limitation.
Yes.
The illusion limitation is challenging because you essentially have to save these for a mega play, but you could like maybe jump someone out, you know, put a fresh soul in, vice versa. It's got applications. I'm just not sure about the championship. I just don't know. I don't think it goes in championship.
Yeah, I don't think it I don't think I'm playing a championship in this deck. I think you'll utilize this a lot, and there could be a lot of fun, like little combos here, to get kind of protect a fighter, get them souped up in the back and flinging forward, or to get somebody. Maybe you kind of have double activation. You have the last activation of a round and the first activation of the next round, and you can kind of get them out of harm's way in the power step. So in this deck, it's a really cool mechanic, but in championship, it doesn't cross over.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's all the gambits. What's your favorite one?
Favorite gambit? Oh, it's kind of hard. Probably Cover of Darkness.
I would 100% agree with you. The two push into a cover, I think, is solid.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on the gambits as a whole?
I think they're okay. This is where it's starting to slow down a little bit for me if I'm playing this deck on its own. There are some cool mechanics in the gambits. To pick a single one that I like for championship, I don't. I don't have one other than the one you selected in Cover of Darkness. They're just okay. And they'll help cycle some of the cards in this specific deck. So.
Okay. Well, let's jump to the upgrades, which is probably where a lot of the meat of the deck is, because it's an illusion based deck. So the first card is Bloodrack Mask, which is an illusion. So I'm only going to say this once, so I don't have to repeat it for the rest of the illusions. But anytime we talk about an illusion, they do not cost any glory points when you play the card. And at the end of the action phase, or when the fighter with the illusion is chosen by Gambit or has dealt damage, the illusion is broken, which means it's discarded. So this Bloodrack Mask is an illusion that has a reaction. After an enemy fighter's move action, if that fighter is within one hex of this fighter, deal one damage to that fighter. What do you think?
I think this one's pretty good, because again, it doesn't cost any glory to put it on. I think it's pretty good. I like it, because it's going to trigger at the end of that move action within a charge. So you get the own free damage.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of just like Thundrick's ability, where like when he ends his activation, he can like make every spot around him a lethal hex.
Yeah.
And the only thing it really does is it says, if you're going to charge me, right? Like, it's not even, you're going to take a damage.
Mm-hmm.
Which might be enough. Maybe it's not, but I don't know if that's exciting enough.
Exciting enough? No. I mean, I don't. And it doesn't make the cut for me in championship. I think it's cool to play with it in this deck. And I like the fact that you're going to deal damage.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's jump to the next one. Ephemeral Fortitude. This fighter has a wounds characteristic of 4 in rounds 1 and 2, and a wounds characteristic of 2 in round 3. This fighter's wound characteristic cannot be modified.
That's interesting. And beef somebody up early game, make them weak. And there's no, you can put it on anybody you want, right? So all of a sudden some small fighter is getting beefed up, and then in round 3, what does it matter? Because they only had maybe 2 wounds anyway. So,
right. I think it is very interesting if you're going to utilize a smaller fighter. Now, interestingly enough, this card does a couple things that take away from like minion-esque wolf fighters. Because like if you make them 4 wounds, they can't use cards like punching up, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like the benefit of having smaller, diminutive, or less wound fighters like that. The interesting thing, though, again, is that you can put this on like someone who's holding an objective, or like Huachi or something, to where like they can just survive a little bit longer And then the cool thing is because this lowers your wound characteristic at the end of the game, in a way, this can help you score like those cards where it's like holding two at the end of the game or whatever, because I have two wounds, right? So this can help you score some of those cards that we mentioned that we thought were hard to score, but I think that's also stretching it still.
Yeah, it's stretching it there. I mean, for me, it's, I think of the high mobility warbands that have three and two wound fighters that you want to be really aggressive with out the gate. This adds to their survivability with really no downside, because they're going to go back at, you know, the only thing that I would think is probably after the end of round two, they're going to go away because they've already got a wound token or two tokens on them. So I like it. And the another key here for, I guess, for this deck in particular, it is not an illusion, right? It's an actual upgrade. So,
mm-hmm. Yes. But going back to illusions, the next one is False Presence. So in addition to the standard illusion rules, when this card is broken, if this fighter is on the battlefield, place this fighter in a starting hex in your territory.
This card, I think, is going to get a lot of play in Championship, only because it sets up that fourth activation, the last activation of a round, for a very safe charge. So I put this on. It doesn't cost me any glory. I charge in, and then the end of the round, it breaks, and I come back to my territory.
Yeah. I agree that's probably the optimal way to use it. The next one is Illusory Form. This fighter's on guard.
Free upgrade for on guard. I like it.
It's a really good card. It's balanced. It's not Shadowkeeper, but it's essentially just, well, the thing is, it's just effectively a ploy that puts your fighter on guard for the round.
Yes.
So is it actually that good of a card? Probably not. Because, like, would you just take a card that says this fighter is on guard for, you know, till the end of the round?
I probably don't in the ploy slot, just because there's so many other ploys, but maybe I have an open upgrade slot and putting a fighter on guard. It's like a bonus gambit almost.
I just feel like upgrades are the most competitive in this game.
Currently, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Next one is Phantom Darts. It's a attack action illusion. It's 3 range, 3 fury, 1 damage, grievous, with the special rule Seeking, +1 dice if the target is in a cover hex. So if you're hitting someone in a cover hex, it's 4 fury.
So we've seen play of, you know, the darts style cards before, and given the fact that it has grievous, is really cool. I guess the real question is do you want to play it for just one round? And I don't know if this is the attack action that I'm spending a slot on to have it for just one round.
Right.
But in this deck, this will see utility in this given deck.
Right. 100%. Okay. Next one is Phantom Fists. Attack action illusion. Range 1, 3 smash, 2 damage, stagger.
This is the one I'm spending a slot on. I really like this card.
It's a very good card.
The stagger mechanic being in there, 3 hammers, 2 cards. This may be the first illusion that we see a lot of play with. You can still buff the fighter up just like a normal upgrade. I like it. I'm a fan of the fists.
I am a fan of the fists. I agree. It's a good card. It's a good attack action. The stagger is nice. It's free technically. So, and it's like usually interesting thing is like if I put Silent Sword on like the butcher, right? Like they're going to try to kill him because they're like, oh, this is a big threat. And even if I kill him, he'll come back with the sword. But with this, it's like, I still think the sword and stuff is going to beat cards like this out. Because unless you specifically want the stagger, this goes away, you know?
Yeah, but it's the... I think I lean more this way, especially in the, you know, in a war band that I'm just trying to make missiles, right? Because it's free. It's the same as sword. Well, it's very similar to sword, but I don't have to spend that glory. So if I draw it turn one, I can still leverage that fighter. So.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I can see your point of view for sure. Next one is Phantom Shield. This fighter's defense characteristic is 2 block and cannot be modified.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good for 1 block or 1 dodge fighters. Especially good for 1 dodge fighters. Is it going to make your top 10? Probably not.
No. No, it's not.
Next one is Phantom Sphere. Attack action. 2 range, 2 smash, 2 damage, cleave.
Still like fists, but this one is nice as well with the range and the cleave.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it just reminds me of any, you know, generic spear in this game. I guess illusions are kind of good for, you know, if you have like a larger warband who's just trying to pump out a bunch of damage. Because then you can load up on some of these weapons, but. Again, I'm not seeing this used in championship. The next one is Shadow Mover, the Denizen upgrade. +1 move while this fighter has 1 upgrade, +1/+2 if they have 2 to 4 upgrades, +3 move with this fighter has 5+ upgrades. What do you think?
I don't think that this is really needed. So with the gambits we have in championship, like we don't need plus move now. So I'm not spending an upgrade slot on that. And if I have 5 upgrades and I need +3 move, that's, I need a lot.
You do. Yeah. Okay. Well, last card then. I agree that the Shadow Mover isn't very good. This one is Weapons Master. This is a regular upgrade. +1 damage. This fighter's range 1 or range 2 attack actions while this fighter has 3 or more upgrades.
This is
pretty solid.
Yeah, this is pretty solid because it's range 1 and range 2 plus damage. And then specifically in this deck, I get, you know, 2 illusions on and then I lay this on. That's how you're going to get your damage. And in Rivals, extra damage is rare. So I think this sees play specifically in Championship because I think it is well enough balanced that it will not get restricted. Mm-hmm. And then it really adds to this deck.
Sure. Yes. As a cohesive deck, it does add to it 100%. Outside of this deck, I don't know, probably like a Hrothgorn or Cursebreaker style fighter who loads up on a lot of upgrades for them to really take advantage. So do you have a favorite, Jason?
So my favorite are the weapon upgrades, and I know that we'll differ a little here, but I do think that having the fist, spear, those two, I think we'll see a lot of play. I really like the fact that I get the same utility without spending a glory. My favorite is definitely fists, but I would also make an argument for spear.
Fair enough.
What's your favorite?
I kind of like Ephemeral Fortitude, where it's like buffing up a small guy for a little bit.
Cool.
I like the idea of it outside of championship, but I don't know. I'm just not really feeling this deck, honestly, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I don't. It functions better.
Than Silent Menace.
Yeah, than Silent Menace.
But does it function better than Black Powder's Buccaneers Rivals?
No. And that's where I struggle with.
Yeah.
Is like, I'm not swapping this out for faction deck. Like,
yeah. The only time you'd ever use this is because you don't have a faction with a full Rivals deck.
Yeah. And then I don't even know who I play with it. Like
Guardians.
Yeah. That's Guardians. The joke of the week is Guardians.
Yeah, I don't know. So what are your overall thoughts on the deck? Like, should people buy it? Should they not? Like, are you going to tell your, you know, you've built up a big rival scene in your area. Like, are you going to tell people to skip it, buy it? Like, give me your thoughts.
So I think for locally, I'm telling people to buy it because the next trend, the next step in the community growth is Rivals Plus or Warlords. And I think with that mechanic where you can take, you know, your faction deck and then kind of sprinkle in another deck, that's where I think that this has play because you can pick and choose some of the cards and while still keeping your faction specific cards. But I'm kind of struggling to say it like, hey, if you're going championship, this is a must buy. Mm-hmm. Again, there's maybe 2-3 cards in here that I really like. So yeah, like I think for Rivals Plus, I'm giving it a good shake. If I'm playing championship or just Rivals, I'm iffy.
Yeah. Like if you're going to that Bugman's Clash, like in a week or two.
Yes.
And maybe you can experiment with this and have some fun, but otherwise I completely agree with everything you said. It's certainly not as mature of a deck as I would have liked. But I also understand that when building a deck that can be run by anyone, you have to be able to tone down the power level and increase the flexibility. So I get it. It makes sense.
Horrors in the Dark and those two upgrades, I think I'm buying for a championship.
Yeah, I agree. Well, cool. Well, that's the Illusory Might deck. Overall, if you're a completionist or someone who wants to collect everything, then you know you probably already own it. Or have pre-ordered it by the time you listen to this. But I really think that if you're strapped for cash or you're wanting to be smart about your investments or, you know, you're not sure if you really need it, I'm going to be honest, I don't think you need this. I don't think there's any card in here that really screams like I'm going to be amazing in championship. And I don't think it's that cohesive of a deck, if I'm going to be honest. Jason, any final thoughts before we close out?
No, I mean, I think we covered it. Like, my expectations were high. I look forward to if there's another one, you know, a Rivals standalone deck coming out to see what that holds. Yeah, and, you know, I can't wait to be proven wrong, right? Like, there's going to be some mad scientist out there that takes 5 of these cards and makes it work, and I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, 100%. I really do. I really do hope we see that innovation and that fun. But I will temper my expectations. But with that being said, you know, thanks to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with this episode. So if you'd like to join our current patrons, you can check us out at patreon.com/pathtoglory. You can find all our blog content on pathtoglorypodcast.com. If you have any feedback, comments, or questions, let us know on Facebook, Twitter, or Discord at Path to Glory Podcast. Our Discord is pretty popping. And even if you're not a patron, we answer all the questions in the general chat. If you do like the podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And as always, thanks for listening, and we wish you the best of luck on your path to glory.
I'm going to break out of here.
Break out of here. Oh, I see what you did there. Dum dum dum. Dum dum dum.